come on up front here. I think, can you just make sure I didn't leave something out? Okay, yeah. We'll put the mats aside for the bigger kids. They're probably, oh. Can we have some graduates come on up front this morning? Shelby, Kaylee, Katie. Let's see if Luke made it here this morning. Emily. We have Jacob here, the other graduate. You know what? Let's have you guys take a seat right here in the front row for a second, because we got a video that Kaylee helped put together, and so we're going to watch that first, so you guys can see a little bit of our graduates over the years. My favorite part is seeing the classic dad photos from over the years. Seniors, could you guys come back up here? We've got a present for you from the church. Haley, Katie, Shelby, Emily. And you guys can actually go ahead and open those. Don't worry about the card right now. Just open one. While they're doing that, I'm gonna say congratulations. Luke's not here, but Jeremy is. The boys' baseball team won the district championship yesterday in baseball, and the girls won in softball. And the soccer team won two district games and then lost in the final to the number one team in the state in a really hard-fought game. Okay, so you see what you have there. Quest Study Bibles, and what I don't want us to be is a cliche thing where, okay, first of all, you'll see when you got those are really cool Bibles. I mean, I don't want to say anything to people that have already graduated earlier, but these are really cool. There's a study Bible in there. I've been flipping through and seeing if we had an extra I could pull out for me, but there's a really cool. And there's a lot of different study questions and things in there that I think you'll like. And I think the Quest Bible is neat because you guys are starting on a new adventure, new quest. But the importance of the Bible, of God's Word. There's a story of a student who went to school, went to Duke University. And the parents gave him the new Bible and said that he should be reading it. And pretty soon he's writing back letters about, you know, Mom and Dad, I need money. Maybe you guys can write some of those letters. I don't know. But they write back, okay, well, you need to be in the scripture. And they cite chapter and verse that you need to be reading. He said, yeah, I'm reading my Bible, but I still low on money. And there was a semester break, and he came home, and they said, well, we know that you're not reading your Bible because they had placed $10 and $20 bills in the Bible, in the places that they cited. So before you kick off with that, you might, just flip ahead just to see if there's anything in there. It's more than that. This is something that you get a lot of use out of. There's a story of a man. His name was he's in Kansas City, and he's severely injured by an explosion, and it left him blind, left him without any hands. And he the really terrible part of it, if that wasn't terrible enough, was he's a brand new Christian, and he was really concerned that now he wouldn't be able to read his Bible. And he had heard about another woman who was able to read the Bible Braille Bible with her lips. And so he got a couple of chapters of the books of the Bible sent to him with Braille, and the nerve endings on his lips had been damaged, so he couldn't do that. But one of the times when he had it to his lips, he touched some of the raised Braille letters with his tongue. And he realized that he could read, he thought, and said, I could read this with my tongue. And he actually went and at the time the person who wrote about this in the book, as evangelist Robert Sommer wrote about it in his book, he said that he had read through the Bible at that time when he four times all the way through with his tongue. Every sermon you ever hear, hopefully, Christian book you ever read, Christian song you hear on the radio, devotional that you have, is all going to be based on this book. You know, wars have been fought. Supreme courts have been divided about what is written in the book. Relief efforts around the world, whether it has to do with disease or hunger or human trafficking or all sorts of things, relief efforts, are the result largely of people responding to what they've read in this book. And I just want to encourage you, you know, some of you are going on to college, most of the universities in this country were started so that to train people, to be able to teach people about this book. In 1787, when the United States was young and they were looking to bring new states into the Union, part of the pact of new states coming in was that the new territories had to establish schools to teach religion, morality, and knowledge. And nearly every state that it was admitted into the Union also put as part of their own state charter, said that they would teach morality and religion, and they all used the Bible as the basis of their teachings. And the U.S. Congress was the first one to actually publish a Bible in the United States for the teaching in schools. It's the most important book that there is, and there is so much that we read about the Bible, but not often that we read into the Bible. You're going to have the opportunity as you grow to be a part of different churches or organizations or college fellowships or read devotionals, and they're all going to be, you know, watch Christian movies. They're all good things, but please don't go through life having people tell you what's in this book. It was like if we gave you, instead for a present today, a telescope. That would be nice, and that might look good in your room or in your dorm room or home. But looking at the telescope, you know, isn't what it was for. It's when you look through the telescope that there's a whole new world that's opened up to you. Emily, I know you're going into kind of a study that works with getting things prepared for microscopes. And you know, the same if we gave it the Bible, not only a telescope, it's like a microscope, sees into the deepest part of us, where we can look at a microscope, that's fine, but when we look in and through a microscope, that's when we see what nobody else sees. This book isn't just something that you read, it's something that reads you. And our goal isn't to get all the way through it, our goal is for it to get all the way through us. And I just pray as you leave here, that it will have a big impact on your life. Before I let you guys sit down, let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Luke and Emily, Shelby, for Katie, for Kaylee, for Jacob and all the other graduates today. God, I pray that you would watch over and direct their footsteps, direct their lives, and do it through your word. God, help your word to be a source of inspiration for them, for encouragement, for rebuke, for teaching, that we might see more of you. God, that you might show us Christ, and through Christ our salvation, and not just life from here, but life indeed. Not just freedom, but to be free indeed. I ask you to place a hedge of protection on each one of them, spiritually and physically, emotionally, as they go from here, whether leaving home or just going on to a new stage of life. God, that you would be there with them every step of the way. And God, that your life would shine in them, but also through them, that others might see the salt and light that's available to them through these graduates. Pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Well, I'm going to let three of you sit down for a moment, and I'm going to have Kaylee stay up here. for a second longer. You can put that down if you'd like. By the way, everybody who was standing up here this morning, let's give them a big round of applause. Everyone who was standing up here this morning, including myself, is going to take part in baccalaureate service, which will be happening in a couple hours over at the high school. And Kaylee is going to be delivering one of the messages there. I remember when we first started out at the youth center, and Kaylee was like in pigtails and hiding under closets and cupboards and stuff. I was like, yep, one day we're going to be sharing a stage speaking together. I just knew it. And so today we both get to deliver a message to baccalaureate, but you get to hear me all the time. And if you went to the wedding last week and the service, you'd probably get sick of me. So I thought instead, let's hear from Kaylee this morning and ask if she would deliver, in case you're not able to make it to baccalaureate, but deliver a message for this morning. Andy, could you help me out? The mic. I know she's going to try and refuse it, but let's...
Can she use this end mic
right here? Oh, yeah. Could you come right over here? Great.
So, like Cal said, he was nice enough to let me practice my baccalaureate speech this morning. And to be honest, I think he was a little nervous because I told him I was just going to go up there and wing it, and he kind of gave me like a, not a good idea. So, which I'm really glad that he actually gave me the opportunity to practice, because as I was laying in bed last night, I was trying to think, what are the perfect words to say today? And I kept getting distracted, of course. And I was thinking about all my peers and all the seniors and my friends and all the new journeys they're going to be taking and how different their life is going to be next year and how different my life is going to be without them. And that was just really crazy. Like, I don't know, you've known them since they were little, since you saw on the slideshow. And it got me thinking all the stuff that we're going to leave behind and whether the seniors want to admit it or not would be like the Dansville small town mentalities. Dansville's played a really big role on all of our lives with our families and our friends and all the activities we have all worked together to make us into the individuals we are today. And it's just sad because now those are the things that we'll leave behind. We'll leave our families and our friends and our activities. Sorry. But all the things that we leave behind, there's one really important thing that I'll take with me, and that's my faith. And I think that's really important for all of us. And I think that as we'll all take our first lone, terrified steps into our future, as long as God's by our side, that's one thing that we don't have to be afraid of. And it says in Luke 10, God told 72 people to take his word and his word only, leave their purses and their satchels and whatever material objects they had, and just to bring their faith, God's word, and to spread it to the other people, because that is the one important thing that you take, that you have. And, it's just something that I pray for the class of 2012, that as we leave our sports reputation, whether you're the all-star at Dansville, or you leave your best friends, or your family, or for me, my 28 little kittens that I'll have to leave behind. That's upsetting, yes, but the one thing that you always have to rely on, that you will always have, that is at the core of you, is your faith. And for us to take that and to know that there's nothing to be afraid of, because we always know where we came from and what we have, and the stuff that we can bring with us is the most important thing. And I just wish all the seniors good luck and may God be with you.
Fix the slides back real quick, but I have to say, Kaylee, you were mentioning your cats. My favorite slide in all those slides was like one cat getting choked. That was great.
flow.
We've talked about the importance of God's word this morning, and Haley talked about the importance of your faith, and faith comes through hearing, and hearing from the word. I just wanted to let you know something that's going on this summer. I'm going to be doing kind of a summer series on the book of Romans, and in growing his word class that we, oops, I broke this, sorry Andy, that we have on Saturday nights. We covered the book of Romans and Galatians just in 1 week, in one session. But the books of Romans and Galatians are the main theology books in the New Testament. And if we didn't have these two books in our Bible, as much as we have, you know, things messed up with different denominations and beliefs and creeds, we'd be in much more trouble without these books. Galatians was written first. Paul said that in that book, he said, circumcision means nothing. And he's talking to the Gentile followers and you know, in the following of the law. And then he went to a meeting down in Jerusalem, and they were going to decide whether circumcision meant anything. So I'm sure Paul was thinking at the time, boy, I sure hope I was right, because he'd already told everybody that. But the Jerusalem Council met, and they approved what he had been saying. And then he went on a second missionary journey. And Galatians has kind of been called the first draft of Romans. If you put Galatians and Romans next to each other, they kind of match up really well. But Romans is over twice as long, has much more detail in it. And it mentions the Old Testament more than any other book that Paul wrote. But the really thing I think is important is over the years, the book of Romans has been such a major part of Christian history, of movements in this world of Reformation, and on major church leaders' lives. In 386 AD, Father Augustine, he was one of our early church fathers, and this is to his own testimony, was living life as a pagan, was living a very wicked life. And he heard a child, we're told, reading from the book of Romans. And when he heard the book of Romans, it changed his life. In fact, he spent the rest of his life trying to live a godly life. He became one of the church fathers, one of the men who helped define what we believe today. And it was the book of Romans that changed his life. In 1516, Martin Luther was reading Romans when he read and said, sola fide, you know, faith alone, or sola scriptura, but the scriptures alone. And he believed that we needed to come back to faith in Christ alone and in the sacraments of the church, that you didn't find Christ that way, that you found Christ through faith. And the book of Romans changed his heart. Some of you know the story of John Wesley. In 1738, John Wesley had already been a pastor. He'd started a church, he'd been on a boat, he'd come over as a missionary to the United States, actually in Georgia, what was going to become Georgia anyway, and been a missionary over here. He traveled home, he got up early in the morning, kind of lived his methodical lifestyle. That's where we get the word Methodist from. He lived a very methodical lifestyle, lived his whole life for God. But unfortunately, he didn't know Jesus. One night he went to a meeting of Moravians, I believe it was, in England. And he was there that night, and it says that his heart was strangely warmed while he was there, and something happened. And it was during the reading of the book of Romans that he realized that he wasn't even a Christian. Even though he'd been a missionary and a pastor, it's hard for us to wrap our mind around that, but it was the book of Romans that changed his life. John Calvin said that when anyone of us gains a knowledge of this epistle, it has an entrance open to him, the most hidden of all scriptures. In other words, when you know Romans, you've got the key that unlocks the rest of the scriptures. William Tyndale, and I wish I'd checked this to see if it was a publishing house with your Bibles, but he said, for as much as this epistle is the principal and most excellent part of the New Testament, I think it meet, which means necessary, that every Christian man not only know it by rote, or memorize it, but he also exercise himself in there continually, that he live it, that he know it, and he live it. And his thought was, you memorize the book of Romans and you live it. The man who made today many of our publishing companies and our Bibles, you can look at the front of your Bible, see if it was a Tyndale Publishing Company. The Tyndale Bible was named for him. And he believed the book of Romans is absolutely essential for Christians. The book of Romans is the queen of all the letters. It teaches everything that we need to know about theology. And so this summer, we're going to be re-looking at that in the book of Romans. That it's such important, you know, as we talked about looking into the telescope, looking into the microscope of what God has for us, is the many of the theology that forms our beliefs, and our beliefs then dictate our actions, is found in the book of Romans. And so we really want to take a look at that this summer. So I'm hoping that you'll join us for that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again so much for today. Thank you for our graduates. Thank you for their lives, the ways that you have worked in their lives so far, but more importantly, the road and the race that you still have laid out for them. God, this isn't just an ending point or finish line today, but a starting line. God, help their lives and each of our lives to be lived for you, because of you. And God, that you may shine your light through us. Pray that you would work in and through each one of us. And God, help your word, where we find you, where we find Christ, to be the basis of everything we do. Pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If we can have the worship team come back up.